You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations.
Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, welcome back to another Nerd Overload, the show that covers everything in pop and geek culture from Atari to Zdarsky. I'm Josh.
I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
We got another wonderful, great show for you today, but as always, it's our Check It Out.
Well, since Monday was May the 4th, you know, Star Wars Day, I went through and watched the original Star Wars A New Hope, or back when it was just called Star Wars.
Me too. I watched the original Star Wars, but it was the special edition. Was it 95?
I think it was 95, yeah. No, I went through and watched the... It's called the Despecialized Edition. Some guy online went through and, like, painstakingly edited out all of the special edition, like, edits and all, like, all the edits. It's the closest thing to it, the original, like, theatrical run version of it.
How did he change the little technical tweaks?
He went back through and found, like, from old VHS and old film reel, and, like, the guy went through everything.
Because I remember in the Han Solo scene in the cantina, like, they digitally made Han's, like, head twitch or something when Greedo shoots at him.
Yeah. It's as close to the original as possible.
So nice. Han shoots first.
Yes.
I forgot how much just garbage they put in it.
Oh, yeah?
Especially in Mos Eisley, there's, like, CG alien, big aliens just everywhere for no reason.
Oh, like when they're riding, like, the land speeder through town and, like, they... near miss that big one and it like rears back and like a Jawa is like hanging from like a bridle or something.
Yeah.
And like, or there's like one robot that punches another flying robot for some reason. It's just like a bunch of cartoony garbage.
Yeah. Why did he feel the need to add all that stuff in? It's like, I like the simplicity of like the, you know, near amateur filmmaking he was doing, you know?
Yeah, and there's a couple parts toward the end, like on the Death Star, where there's just a flying robot going by for some reason.
Yeah, and they changed the explosion of the Death Star too, right?
Really?
Yeah,
I suppose they did. Now that I think about it, that was a really CG explosion.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I love like the original. Like they were practical effects, and they were, you know, in my eyes, filmmaking at its classic core.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Sometimes I feel. The reliance on technology makes some filmmakers a little lazy.
There's so many weird things about Star Wars 2 that when you think about it, you're like, how did this ever work at all? Like, just the opening of the movie, episode 4. Like, you're going into this movie, oh, it's the fourth one, but
actually,
it's okay.
The very, very original didn't have episode 4 in it.
Really?
It just said Star Wars.
So that's another special edition thing I didn't catch.
Yeah. They added that in to subsequent films after they decided that they're going to make Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, still, it opens with, like, hey, let's read a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, they might as well have handed you a pamphlet when you walked in the theater.
Well, I've actually seen, like, behind-the-scenes stuff of how they film that crawl. It's just really cool because, like, it's there. They tilt the camera and they just kind of scroll it.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And, like, the whole first 20 minutes is mostly robots walking around.
Yeah.
And C-3PO complaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so weird. Like,
yeah,
it's still a great movie, but you're like, why does this work? Because I feel like it shouldn't.
Yeah,
but it does.
You don't meet your main protagonist until, like, almost like 20 minutes into it. You know? Until, you know, they end up on Tatooine, right?
Yeah.
Like, all your basic filmmaking stuff says that this shouldn't work, or this shouldn't keep people interested, but it does.
Yeah.
Also, all the wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're terrible wipes.
Yeah, well, that was a theme they kept going, like, through all of them.
Yeah, it's part of the Star Wars style, but,
it's
like...
the crazy wipe.
I'm waiting for... I hope the new one has a star wipe.
Oh.
Star wipes in your Star Wars?
Yeah.
Nice.
I watched The Flash.
Oh,
this week's
cool.
Flash.
Very cool.
It's the episode I've been waiting for. I don't even care about Reverse Flash. I've been waiting for this one.
I know. It's the episode that Iris finally found out that Barry Allen was the Flash. Is that what you've been waiting for? Is that what you're talking about? Huh?
No. I was waiting for Grodd.
Oh, yeah.
Because Grodd lives.
Grodd is great. The giant telepathic gorilla.
I tried to tell somebody at work about who Grodd was,
mm-hmm.
and he just looked at me like... Like, I just smacked a puppy in front of them. Like, they just they didn't understand.
Oh, man.
I'm like, it's a comic book thing. He's a giant, super intelligent gorilla.
And you know what? He was born right out of the 60s because gorillas were very popular in comics back then for some reason.
I blame Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
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 Lancelot Link. What a great show.
But, I mean, it was a good episode. It was interesting. You see some, like, flaws that maybe some characters you thought were stronger. Mm-hmm. But when thrown into a situation like that, they don't know how to deal with it.
It was the first time that they really did anything without the safety net of Harrison Wells.
This is true. This is true. And that's, like, they're sitting there like, it's like, well, how are we gonna beat this? And you know, they're like, how'd you do it before? Well, we always had Wells around.
Because Wells has gone, like, full-on villain.
He's got, like, secret hideout and everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, I jumped in about halfway through it, but I really liked how they did Grodd, how he didn't speak. He was telepathic. So
yeah.
Because a talking gorilla would have been really goofy, I think.
Yeah. And expensive.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Unless they just, like, gave him some peanut butter. And
I mean,
there you go.
Well, yeah, I don't know, man, you know. I don't know how expensive it would be. I'm sure the Gorilla Actor Union out there wouldn't.
Yeah. The Gorillas Local 303.
But, no, it was a good episode. Joe is absolutely terrified of gorillas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he gets kidnapped by Grodd, and he is, like, terrified. Like, somebody on, like...
Scare tactics?
Yes, scare tactics. I mean, he was absolutely terrified, and he pulled it off really well.
I saw he tried to offer him a banana.
Oh, yeah. And Grodd was like, Grodd, hate banana. And he, like, freaks out. And he's like, oh, God, don't kill me.
Yeah, really good. And this next week is the finale, right?
No.
Really?
There should be two more episodes, I think.
Okay. Well, then it might be a two-parter then or something. Because
the
teaser for the next episode looked an awful lot like a season finale.
Maybe. I know. I think it's supposed to be some kind of crazy super crossover.
Yeah.
I think Arrow's finale is a two-parter. So this probably is, too.
Gotcha.
One would hope. But yeah. Dudes who ran really fast and telepathic gorillas.
Makes sense.
Perfect. Excellent.
So as far as people who don't know... Age of Ultron came out over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we're going to go ahead and start talking about that. Are we going to get spoilery before we delve into it?
I feel like we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's just do the usual where we start general and then...
And then we'll give them a warning. Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Or maybe do general up until the break and then come back and get spoilery.
We could do... Yeah, we'll see how it goes here. Yeah, first impressions. What did you guys think of Avengers Age of Ultron?
I mean, I liked it. I won't say it was as good as the Avengers, first one.
Well, it doesn't have the same spectacle
kinda
that the first one did.
No, because it was building up to that point, and
everyone
was still kind of in awe of it. Now we've been there, done that. And...
Yeah. I didn't not like it, but I didn't love it either. There's a lot of things in it that I didn't care for. It was all over the place, kind of.
The script seemed a little more slapdash.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, I still enjoyed it. I liked it an awful lot. I'm looking forward to going back and seeing it again just to kind of look a little deeper into it and see some things that I've missed maybe.
Yeah.
But I agree. It's not as strong as the first one.
Not by a long shot. They didn't give a lot of things the time they should have. Stuff like Thor's little dip in the pool. Like, what was that about? They didn't explain that very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know Loki was supposed to be there?
Really?
Yeah, I read something today that Loki was supposed to be in that sequence.
That seems like a huge missed opportunity.
They filmed it and everything.
Wow.
Huh.
Blu-ray.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The Vision wasn't explained hardly at all.
Yeah, see, I like the Vision a lot, but he wasn't... We know who he is because you know, we read comics, but yeah, he wasn't really explained. His powers were very ill-defined in the movie, I thought.
They weren't at all. All you knew is he could fly, and then one part he shoots a laser out of his crystal.
And that, like, 1.5 scenes where you actually see him phase.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has phasing powers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's his deal. I thought the opening, I like that they started with the team together. They didn't have to go through the whole let's get the band back together kind of thing. It was they were already there. They were doing missions. And with the exception of some shaky CGI at the very beginning, I thought the opening sequence was actually really good. They're storming Baron Strucker's
compound
and stuff. I thought that was really good. But yeah, some of that CGI was
Hulk looked super, like, I mean, obviously he is super fake, but, I mean, he looked really, really fake.
Yeah, he did.
Thor, for a brief second, looked like a video game character.
Yeah.
It was, like, low poly. It makes me wonder if that scene was thrown in at the last minute to kind of pad out the running time a little bit.
I don't know.
Or if they added, or if they quick extended the fight scene in the beginning a little bit.
Is the romance subplot spoilers?
I don't know. You know what? Let's just go to spoilers now. Tell you what, if you don't want Avengers Age of Ultron spoiled, come back at the break. Come back in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So you've been warned.
This is your spoiler warning, brought to you by the Nerd Overload.
That's right. Okay, 3, 2, 1, here we go. Yeah, the love subplot between the Banner and the Black Widow seemed really out of place
to me. It was garbage. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They didn't develop it from any real place. It just happened.
That bugged me because, you know, the first movie, they do this thing where they're setting up that you feel like Hawkeye and Black Widow had some kind of romantic past.
Well, not so much. Not so much that. I think it set up more that they were super, super duper best friends, which carried through to this film, I think.
Yeah. But I don't know.
It seemed like a romantic thing at the time. It felt romantic to me.
Yeah. And, you know, but then again, they tried the same thing in Captain America, too. Where she was flirting with Cap through the whole thing, almost.
She wasn't really flirting with him. She kept trying to get him to hook up with chicks.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
The entire time. Like, hey, you got a girlfriend yet? He's like, why is this such a thing with you?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And the only time they kissed was to be for cover.
Yeah, so. I guess you're right. But yeah, this whole thing with Banner just kind of came out of nowhere.
It really did, because it literally was like, I don't know, I felt like maybe because they were like, well, we're going to write in this weird scene with Hawkeye and his family, and he's married and happy and crap. And
I did like that.
And then that came way out of left field.
Yeah, I had no idea that was coming, and it was a welcome addition because it actually gave Hawkeye a reason for being. Gave him more than he was more than just a guy with a bow and arrow. You know,
yeah.
he became the audience surrogate at that
night. Yeah, he needed that development.
Yeah, he really did.
Honestly, I could easily say they wrote him so much better in this movie than they did in the past couple that he appeared in.
It would be hard not to.
True. I mean,
he spent 90% of the first Avengers movie mind-controlled.
Yeah.
And before that, he showed up in, like, 2 seconds.
Thor.
It could have been any actor in Thor.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know.
I forgot he was in Thor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone does.
I don't.
Well.
I like that one line he says when Thor's beating down on that big guy, and he's like, I'm really starting to root for this guy. But I don't know. I like how quippy he was. I like I just like the general personality of the whole thing. I mean, he had some great lines. Some of my favorite lines in the movie come from him.
It was almost the Hawkeye movie.
It kind of was a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like,
yeah.
He was one of the less developed characters, so give him some time.
Yeah. I like that speech he gave to, or not really speech so much, but like that couple of lines he said to Scarlet Witch there near the end.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, we're on a town that is flying.
Everyone's
flying, we're fighting robots, and I have a bow and arrow.
And it makes no sense.
Nothing makes sense.
But I'm going to go out there because that's my job.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Speaking of Scarlet Witch, what did you think of the additions to the cast? Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor-Johnson as Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch was good. Quicksilver didn't get enough time.
I agree.
I hated their accents. It really bugged me.
Yeah, it was kind of corny.
You know, at the time it bugged me, but you know, now that I'm kind of thinking, rolling it back in my head, I think they did an okay job. I think they did pretty serviceable. I mean, for nondescript Russian, you know...
Country that doesn't exist.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they would have said they were from, like, Latveria or something. But, that, you know,
yeah.
It's Doctor Doom.
That's the whole time they're running through this place, I'm like, why isn't this Latveria? Like,
yeah.
I wish this was Latveria.
Yeah.
When they're fighting Strucker in that castle, I'm like, why isn't Dr. Doom here? Dr. Doom, please.
Well, Doom was never part of Hydra. I mean, he probably had similar goals.
Yeah.
But I would see Doom thinking Hydra was like a rival that is lesser beneath him to be crushed by Doom.
Yeah. Speaking of new additions, what did you think of Ultron, played by James Spader? Meh. Giant 8-foot robot James Spader.
I liked his quips.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah?
Like,
okay.
They could have... It was either... There was two in between. Like, if he was going to be quippy, he should have been all the time quippy. Or if he was going to be menacing, he should have been all the time menacing. It just kind of made him fall into this weird middle area where I'm like, are you funny? Are you super evil? I don't... It makes me not care enough either way.
See, it's kind of weird. I agree with you. I think he could have gone one way or the other. I mean, I could see what they were trying to do because he was basing his thought patterns off of
Tony
Stark. And I mean, who's quippier and sassier than Tony Stark?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Well, he's not here yet.
Yeah.
Next time.
But, I guess he was... original plans for the movie involved Spider-Man and Captain Marvel to show up at some point.
Really?
I wish they would have.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm really kind of disappointed at how little this movie set up the next set of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
It really doesn't do anything. It did a little bit of for Black Panther,
but not much.
But not much.
Not for the average Joe.
They've set up Black Panther's villain more than they've set up Black Panther.
Yeah.
You know, Claw.
Yeah.
That
was a good scene.
That was a pretty good scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they mention Wakanda.
Yeah. But that's all. That's all you get. And
don't even see Wakanda.
Yeah, there was no mentions, no ties to Ant-Man, which is coming out in what, like a couple months.
Yeah, I thought Ant-Man would just show up or something.
I would have thought at least a name drop, because in the comics, for people who don't know, Ultron was actually made by Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man.
Right, going to be played by Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
coming up.
But I know a lot of people were kind of little angry at the fact that they had Tony build Ultron versus...
I think that makes sense.
It does make sense.
In the universe that they set up, I think that makes more sense.
But with Tony Stark being who he is in the movies, it sounds like something he would do.
Yeah.
Especially after the whole PTSD of, like, you know, he doesn't know how to deal with an alien invasion.
I'm tired of that plot. I'm really tired of that plot. You know what? He had that at the tail end of Avengers. You had it all through Iron Man 3. I thought the whole point of Iron Man 3 was him kind of getting over that. And here he is at Avengers 2, still neck deep in PTSD from being in outer space and seeing aliens.
Yeah, Tony hasn't grown at all.
No.
As a character.
No, he hasn't grown since, he grew a lot in Iron Man 1, not much in Iron Man 2. He grew a lot in Avengers and then has just stopped.
I feel like as much as I love Robert Downey Jr. and as much as I love everything he's brought to the Tony Stark character, I almost feel like Marvel is Jack Sparrowing him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Yeah, because there was an awful lot of Tony in this, and Tony...
There's an awful lot
Tony's
of Tony
always
in everything.
Right.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of Tony in every film he's in.
I'm kind of glad he left the team at the end of this. Like, the end of this movie, there's a whole new Avengers team. Like,
yeah.
Everything's like...
That kind of sucks a little bit for me, because I'm like, all these characters that are on the new team, I'm like, I don't care about you. Like, I don't know enough about you to be interested, and I don't care. Like,
yeah, well, I think that the upcoming Avengers movies are going to, or not Avengers movies, Marvel movies are going to do more to build the new Avengers team, which will then get thoroughly trounced in Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like by the time we get, and I feel like, I don't know if maybe Marvel has no more plans after this, but
after Infinity War, no, there are no plans.
I mean, I feel like eventually they're just going to get to, we're going to get to part two, and just everybody who's ever been in any of the movies is just going to be there.
Boy, that would be nice.
Yeah.
You know what? I've said for a while, they don't even need to get all the X-Men, just get Wolverine, just get Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
To show up in like one scene.
That'll, you know, people
stab a robot or something and be done.
I mean, going back to the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch thing, I don't think they fleshed them out enough.
No.
I mean, you see them for a split second at the end of Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that really bugged me. In that end scene, I mean, this is going to be leading to a whole topic I want to talk about.
Sure.
They don't look like volunteers.
No.
They looked like prisoners of Hydra.
In this movie, they were stated as, you know, they were volunteers to be turned into superhumans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. At the end of Captain America 2, they were like locked up.
Yeah,
in a cell.
Yeah.
Like Quicksilver's running around the cell trying to get out or what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then Scarlet Witch is sitting there levitating blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. This movie I felt like did not. This is one of my big hangups on it. As much as I liked it, is that I feel like they did not take the information from the other films, mm-hmm. and there was no development past those storylines that are established.
Yeah, for all this talk of continuity, they're not doing a very good job.
At the end of Iron Man 3, he blows up all his suits for Pepper and says he's not going to be Iron Man anymore. Which, though, I will understand that he never stopped tinkering because he's Tony Stark and that's part of his character.
Right.
But I felt like that gesture is, then why did he do it?
Yeah, because he calls in a whole Iron Legion. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, you know what, it almost seems like you're supposed to watch this directly after Avengers, not after Iron Man and all that other stuff. You know?
But then the other scenes don't make sense because having Falcon show up and
yeah. Well, you know what? Joss Whedon had a story he wanted to tell, and he didn't care what continuity was previously established.
I get that.
He just wanted to tell the story he wanted to tell. This movie felt an awful lot like we're telling you this story so we can tell you the next story. This was all a whole bunch of setup, I think.
Oh,
which kind of sucks because, like, it's if you're doing all this for the other movie. At the expense of this movie being good, mm-hmm. you're going to lose people's interest for the next one.
Oh, I agree. But
They can't keep sustain that idea for too long or people are going to get sick of it. Especially when your next movie isn't for, what, 2 more years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like if you're wanting to build all this continuity, maybe make the movies come out faster?
Yeah, but at the same time, it takes time to make movies.
Yeah, I'm not being just the fanboy that says, I want it now. It just doesn't make sense to be building all of this continuity and then make people wait forever and lose interest.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
And it's like, oh, that was like another thing. At the end of like Captain America, you know, Black Widow goes off to go get her fresh start or whatever.
And here she is now.
Doing the exact same thing she did before.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Fury shows up with an old helicarrier.
Was Nick Fury just living in that barn?
I know, right?
For like a year and a half.
I think
he's just been squatting in Hawkeye's barn, figuratively and literally.
Well, when you think about it, at the end of Captain America, when S.H.I.E.L.D. is dissolved and everything, and he kind of burns all his S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, he's like, he does look like a homeless guy.
But if all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff was destroyed and he burned everything, where did he get a helicarrier? At the end of this.
Yeah, they didn't even explain how that happened. I figured that was for the TV show to do.
Yeah, there was no
and
real...
As far as I know, they have yet to do that.
Yeah, there was no real connection. Right now, the TV show is still going this whole two halves of S.H.I.E.L.D. fighting each other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the other S.H.I.E.L.D. group with Edward James Olmos, they don't have a helicarrier. They have a ship.
Yeah, right.
They have a regular ship. And then, you know, there was no connection. Again, with this movie, I felt like there wasn't much connection to the rest of the continuity.
Yeah, I always thought they had this huge master plan for everything, and everything was going to connect perfectly, and it was. But now I'm starting to think they're flying by the seat of their pants a little more than I thought they were.
Yeah, you know what? I think they had a good plan up through the first Avengers movie, and now because they're trying to get them out a little quicker, I think they're sacrificing some plot
development
issues for. The sake of, you know, having more, you know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been the most ambitious cinematic event to ever happen.
Oh, sure.
And it's been great. I mean, it's made them lots of money. It's made people love superhero movies again. But I feel like now we're getting to this point where they were running so fast, they're starting to trip on their own feet.
We might be peaking.
Yeah. You knew Marvel wasn't going to put out nothing but hits. You knew something was going to be a little bit lacking. It's a shame that it, you know, and don't get me wrong, I still like this movie a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy this movie.
It's not their worst one.
It's not, but, you know, it's kind of a shame that this is the one that they kind of have started to trip a little bit on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, you've got all these different directors with all these different ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, they all can't be part of the greater Marvel hive mind.
Yet all the movies feel remarkably similar.
True.
Because, you know, 75% of them have been origin movies, and how many times do you see the same origin, you know?
Yeah. Looking at you, Spider-Man, I really hope you're not an origin story.
Oh, it's going to be.
No, don't. I've heard it. I've heard really? He starts as Spider-Man, and it's going to be, from what I've heard, it's four movies in 4 years, like the Harry Potter thing, covering him going from, like, 4 years of high school.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I like that idea. I mean, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was a brand new hero that not a lot of people know about, like, you know, say Captain Marvel or something like that. Mm-hmm. With Spider-Man, everybody knows who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is one of the most iconic superheroes in American culture.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in world culture, period. Pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there with Batman and Superman.
He's the most Forbes did a thing here the other day. He is the most bankable of the superhero movies. Yeah, he has made more money per, you know, per film than Batman.
Wow. Well, like, there's been some really bad Batman movies.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, there haven't been some great Spider-Man movies either, but at the same time, people still got excited about them.
All of them are pretty passable. None of them are unwatchably terrible.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen Spider-Man 3 lately?
That one's pretty bad.
I thought it was all right when I saw it in the movies.
That was a long time ago.
Watch it again. Watch it again.
His dance scene down the sidewalk.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a bit rough.
It's so goofy. I wanted to talk about Black Widow getting damseled in the jail.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty crappy. Like, I'm not saying you can't put a female character in a damseled position, but it did nothing to serve the plot.
It really didn't.
It did, yeah.
Now, if they would have explained that, you know, Ultron was sharing part of Banner's personality, and that it was the Banner side of his brain that was kind of firing and saying, hey, you know, maybe I should get her to myself. Or if they tried to introduce Jocasta, the female robot. In the comics, Ultron created two robots, Vision and Jocasta, and they're supposed to serve as like the, you know, the perfect, you know, android man and woman to restart
his world.
His world, essentially. And in the comics, Jocasta's brain patterns were based off of the Wasp. And, you know, as they were going through and changing things, if they would have explained that he was going to do something like that with Black Widow, that would have made a little more sense for him to capture her and keep her separate from everyone else. But the way they did it now, as it stands, didn't do anything to serve.
Yeah, it just gave Banner somebody to rescue later to look good. And he didn't even do it in, like, a cool way. He just kind of shows up, blows up the door, hey, you're free.
Yeah.
Like, it was really lame.
Yeah, yeah. And them constantly the two of them constantly talking about, oh, let's just take off. Let's just go.
Let's just run away.
We're in the middle of a battle that's, you know, that could engulf the entire Earth, but let's just go. But no.
No, yeah.
These are heroes. You stick around and you do the job, you know?
Which, that's another thing that I did like. They were heroes.
Yeah.
They helped people. They saved people.
We did see more of that. Yeah.
They were concerned about collateral damage, unlike Superman and Man of Steel.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, they were actually superheroes instead of...
Oh, yeah, I did like that.
Superpowered people fighting in a city.
Because, I mean, shoot, the majority of the Ultron fight at the end was them, you know, saving people.
Yeah.
Instead of just punching robots.
Which is what superheroes are supposed to do, and it always makes me happy when they
do it in the movies. They even kind of had that a little bit in the first Avengers, where, like, Captain America is, like, ordering police to, like, funnel, like, civilians down this street
Even Black Widow is concerned about hitting people with their motorcycle on that one. Out of the way, beep, beep.
That was a good part of the movie, though.
All right, so, hey, we're going to go ahead and take a break here, but before we do, if you guys were to give this a, like, out of 10 rating, what would you guys give it?
Seven and a half, eight.
Yeah, I'd probably give it about a 7.5 or 8 on a good day. Like I said, I'd have to go back and see it again. Kind of. Oh, the credit cookie. Let's talk about that for a second.
Oh,
what did you think of that?
Yeah,
the mid-credit deal.
I was confused. Like,
Thanos?
Yeah,
Thanos.
But I think they've been pussyfooting around Thanos forever, and it, like, wasn't that big of a surprise. It's like, yep, there it comes.
You know what? If he didn't pop up in Guardians and be full on in Guardians, I think it would have been a bigger deal than this.
Yeah. I mean, the part that confused me is, now granted, this could be just, you know, the lazy filmmaking stuff, you know, Marvel just wanting to make references, but in the original Thor...
I know what you're going to talk about.
Yes,
yeah.
The Infinity Gauntlet was on Asgard.
Yeah, you know what, they'll try to come up with some excuse or some reason why it was there. Maybe it's like a fake hologram, so maybe someone stole it or something. But, you know, the real reason... Marvel had no idea that they were going to do the Infinity Gauntlet story when they were doing Thor. They didn't know if the whole... Because you got to remember, Thor was the third of the superhero movies that had come out. They didn't even know if Avengers was going to work or not.
Yeah.
So they threw that in there as a background thing to go, oh, man, look at that. And had no... At the time, I believe they had no plans for Infinity Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. And now they're just going to kind of try to forget that it happened.
Thor was the first big gamble. That was the first one that's like, okay, this one's kind of weird.
It really was, yeah. Because, I mean, it was the first one that was, like, out and out, like, magic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Magic stuff. You got your space alien ancient gods with powers.
Yeah.
Like, honest powers. But, I don't know. Thanos is coming, so.
Whether we like it or not. All right, and we'll be back here in a minute.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Crave Foundations,
the store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have 4 locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
All right, and we're back. That was Vampire Weekend with the song Worship You. I think it's a new song, and I don't know. I think it's in, like, some bank commercial with some dogs or something.
Some dogs in costumes.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've only heard a couple Vampire Weekend songs.
Yeah.
Really not enough for me to form an opinion.
Yeah, same here, same here. Anyway, we're back, and...
We should probably talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, we should talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Took part in.
Yeah. We took part in a lot of Free Comic Book
Day. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
We actually made the trek to 2 shops this year.
From opposite ends.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Again, sorry about that, buddy. You ended up having to drive it.
Yeah, it's okay. It was fine.
Yeah, but we checked out Subculture in Bucyrus.
Yep.
And this was the first year they had done it.
It was really good turnout.
Really, really good turnout. I'm really happy for him.
It was good. It was a good time.
Yeah.
More people in costume than I would expect for a shop in the middle of Bucyrus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. And then I liked how they reorganized their shop a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It looked real good.
I did like that a lot. And, yeah, I mean, theirs was a really good day.
I mean,
it wasn't anything too overblown, but, I mean, it was just nice to see a bunch of people in the
shop. Oh, yeah, exactly. And... from what I saw, everyone was buying stuff.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And that's excellent.
It was really good to just see a lot of people of varying ages and genders enjoying comics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was another thing. There were a lot of kids, a lot of, you know, everyone was out.
Boys, girls, the obvious comic book crowd, mm-hmm. i.e. us.
Yep. There were a couple people in costume even.
Yeah.
Wandering around, which was really cool.
Yep. There was a guy running around as Netflix's Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a girl, Vegeta, I think that's
from
who that
Dragon
is.
Ball Z.
Yeah.
Yep.
That thing.
There was a kid dressed as Naruto from the anime Naruto.
I feel like there's something else we're not thinking of.
Yeah.
But no, it was a really good time. And then after that, we made the trek in the opposite direction to Hilliard, to Pack Rat Comics.
Yes, which is always a big event.
It is just a huge big deal.
Yeah, for such a small plaza.
They turn it into like almost a full-on convention over there.
Just about.
At this point, yeah, it pretty much is.
I mean, they always get a special guest.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mikey's Late Night Slice pizza truck shows up.
Mm-hmm.
They always have they have like a bounce castle or something like that for kids.
Bounce house.
Box City downstairs.
Yeah, the Box City downstairs. Yeah. That was pretty cute.
Just a maze of cardboard boxes.
Yeah, they built like a whole like entranceway to like the Hall of Justice that they put out front, too. That was impressive.
Yeah, that was. And it said like, you know, Pack Rat Comics and stuff on it.
Yeah, that was really cool.
They took over the whole plaza. They have, this cul-de-sac plaza. They used almost every room in it this time.
Well, there are a lot of empty spaces in that plaza.
That Pack Rat just keeps kind of snatching up a little bit here and there.
Yeah. I mean, they got their game room, and mm-hmm. then they took over one of the other rooms. They probably rented it for, like, the day for, like, an artist alley.
Yeah, yeah. Their artist alley was really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really impressed by that. Actually picked up a print by a guy named Sean Forney.
I really liked that. It was a good print.
That black and white
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I dug that quite a bit. But no, it was a really good time.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good time. And there was lots of people in costume.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they always have a costume contest.
Man, yeah. Just a ton of people.
And there were some great costumes,
too. Yeah, there was really good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole group of X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People, that was really good.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good one.
There was the Arrow group that was really good.
Oh, yeah. Their costumes were pretty good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they were good.
And then there were, like, little kids running around in costumes. And
again, really good to see, you know, the younger crowd.
Oh, yeah. Kids. Yeah. And there were some young girls in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like seeing the younger generation to get excited about this kind of stuff.
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah. And, I mean, it gives me hope that the bloodline will go on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The nerd bloodline.
Yeah.
It's free comic book day. You get a handful of free comics. You have a good time. You get to hang around like-minded people. I talked to a guy in the artist alley where you grabbed your print.
Uh-huh.
I talked to a guy over in the corner over miniatures for a while.
Oh, excellent.
But no, he was a really cool guy. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little sad we didn't stay for comic poker, but we've done that.
I hope they didn't do it this year.
I was under the impression.
Yeah, it started at 7.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Well.
They had a sign for it outside.
Well, we were watching Avengers.
Yeah, we went to go watch Avengers.
Yeah. So I think it's worth it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've done it before. It's not going to change much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wish their basement area was as great as it used to be, like where they kept all their like back issues comics.
They've definitely downsized the back issues a little. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to have that.
Yeah. I understand. But, again, it's free comic day. If you've never been, next year, around, you know, May 1st time, May 2nd time.
It's the first Saturday in May.
First Saturday in May.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. Go check it out.
Very, very cool stuff.
It's a good time. You'll have fun. I wish they didn't limit the amount of comics you could take.
They
have to because they only get so many. Yeah. But it doesn't feel like it's in the spirit of Free Comic Book Day to limit.
But, you know, the thing you got to keep in mind, these stores, they pay for the free comics. They're loss leaders. Yeah. They get them at a severely discounted rate, but they do pay for them. So, you know.
Well, then that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Switching gears from things that were super awesome to things that might be questionably awesome. New picture for the Suicide Squad movie came out.
Yep, of all the cast in their costumes.
All of Task Force X.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. What'd you guys think?
I don't not like it. Nothing was surprising. Nothing was horrible.
They were varying degrees for me.
Oh, yeah? Care to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Harley Quinn's costume. I understand where it comes from. I've never liked New 52 Harley.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my personal.
I think the actress looks great.
Oh no, she looks
as Harley.
Oh yeah, she looks fine. I don't like the general design.
Yeah,
but that's just my personal thing. If I don't like the New 52 Harley Quinn costume,
I don't think classic Harley Quinn would work in real life.
It wouldn't. I understand that. It's my personal gripe.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm just saying it's my personal thing.
Well, for that character in particular, I'm gonna have to wait until I see
this is true.
Her act.
I mean, this is true.
It, you know what? It could be the worst costume in the world, but if she does an excellent job playing the character, you know what? That goes a long way to redeem the part for sure.
I think it's a logical evolution of her character from the modern comics, from the Harley Quinn comics.
Yeah. Got that shirt that says "Daddy's Little Monster" on it. Is that like a Killer Croc looked great. I didn't even realize Killer Croc was going to be in it.
That was an excellent bit of, and that's prosthesis. That's not.
Oh, is it?
It's practical.
Huh.
Yeah, they actually made a giant latex Killer Croc costume on top of him.
Huh.
And that is really cool.
Oh, yeah. That part was cool. The other part, and we've had this discussion before, when they revealed the Deadshot with the mask costume.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that mask. I just don't like it.
Well, see, I'm totally opposite. I think the mask is the only thing that stands out to the character, because without it, you just have Will Smith in orange and black pseudo-military armor.
Yeah.
Which looks like every other member of the team, basically.
Yeah. True.
I think with that mask, now, do I think that mask is going to be on screen for more than 5 minutes of the entire runtime of the movie? Absolutely not. There's no way they're going to cover Will Smith's face.
They'll slap it on for action sequences, and that's
about it. For the stuntman.
Yeah, pretty much. That's going to be it
for the stuntman, and when they CG him entirely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it. I think they could have done. I think they could have done it better. But I think it makes the character pop a little bit more.
I think it's the all white. I think it feels a little plain to me with the weird purple eyes.
Yeah. There's a lot more color going on than
there is
than DC usually does for movies.
Yeah. That's very true. The Captain Boomerang costume looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's about standard for, you know, he looks a lot like Captain Boomerang Jr.
He does. Yep, trench coat and with the scarf and the boomerangs. Yeah. There are a couple characters that they didn't name, and I'm not quite sure who they're supposed to be. The guy covered in tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although
that was the Joker. No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think that's El Diablo, who's a more recent character. His fire powers was a gang member or whatever.
See, I didn't get a real good look at him on the image I saw. I thought maybe he was going to be like Mr. Zazz or something.
Is he even a member
of the Suicide Squad?
No, no. Well, they're not going to touch that because he's on Gotham right now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but I mean, I was surprised to see Katana was there.
She looked really cool too.
That was probably the best one of the bunch. She looked like she just came right off the comic page.
Oh yeah, she looked perfect.
A lot like Young Justice.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I was expecting crap and got halfway decent. So
exactly, yeah. You know what? It gives me like a half a glimmer of hope that this might not turn out to be half bad.
Yeah.
And you know what, for DC, not half bad is probably the best they're going to get.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I'm going to watch all these movies.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, I'm a sucker, you know. I'm going to spend that money one way or the other.
It's got superheroes in it? Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if there's somebody who just gets real mad every time we start trashing on DC movies.
If you do, contact us.
Yeah, please.
NerdOverload.com.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
On Facebook.
If we're making you real mad right now, I want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be shy. Speak up, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're welcome to all opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We may not agree, but we're not going to say you can't have them. Maybe this will be the glimmer of hope, the dirty dozen.
Yeah.
The dirty dozen we want,
I think it's our best bet.
Right now? Yeah, I think so.
And outside the DC animated universe, yeah.
And DC's always had the best villains, so that's their...
Very true.
Maybe that's that'll be
true.
Their best movie.
They do... All their characters tend to have a really good...
Rogues Gallery?
Yeah, Rogues Gallery, yes. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of movies, did you guys see that thing about the Boba Fett movie?
I did not, but
surprises
I'm intrigued.
No one ever.
Yeah, why don't you tell me a little about that?
Apparently, Disney/Lucasfilm has been hinting at they're going to do a Boba Fett origin movie.
Well, they haven't been hinting. They pretty much...
Well, yeah, they've said Boba Fett origin movie, which... confuses me because...
Don't we already know his origin?
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people online have been saying. We know where he came from. He's a clone of Jango Fett that did not go through the growth acceleration process that the others did.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be his... Now, granted, in the Clone Wars animated series, they did touch on some of his time afterward.
Right, I was going to ask you about that. Do you suppose that this movie is going to tie parts of the Clone Wars show into it, or is this going to be what definitively locks out Clone Wars as out of continuity?
I don't think they're locking out Clone Wars, because right now they're making a big push in Star Wars Rebels Season 2 of a lot of Clone Wars content.
Okay, that's...
I mean, a lot of characters from Clone Wars are showing up.
Okay.
Anakin's Padawan, Captain Rex of the Clone Troopers, and a couple of his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be there. They're walking around this derelict clone walker. I mean, I think they're doing as much as they can to keep more recent Star Wars stuff in the continuity.
Okay.
Basically, I think when they're locking out the EU stuff, I think it's a lot of the novelizations of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the New Jedi Order and all that stuff.
Right, right, right.
Because they're creating the new mythos.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm not as upset about that as other fans are. But I think maybe we're going to touch on more Boba Fett growing up, running around with other bounty hunters, learning to be a bounty hunter.
Like 20-year-old. Like
not
Boba
baby.
Fett.
Baby Boba Fett and a
baby
little
Fett.
A little IG-88 and a little Greedo.
It's the bounty babies.
Yeah. A little IG-88 is like a floppy disk.
Nice. Nice.
Make it happen, Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting.
Star Wars bounty baby.
I love Boba Fett. I understand a lot of people are like, why is he so popular? Why is he so popular?
Because he looks crazy cool. The coolest designed.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars
he definitely is.
Any of them. Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying what makes him cool is the mystery. Why do you have to ruin it? They're cashing in. People love Boba Fett. People buy Boba Fett. Lots of people dress as Boba Fett and Mandalorians.
Yeah, yeah.
They do Mandalorian armor just as much as they do Stormtroopers and Darth Vader. Per capita, if I'm finding Star Wars cosplayers, 9 times out of 10, they're a Boba Fett or a Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, you can't throw a rock at a convention without hitting a Deadpool and a Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Or a Mandalorian Deadpool.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I have not.
I have, yes. Bright red and black, you know, Boba Fett bouncing around doing antics. Yeah. Yeah.
Darn you, Deadpool.
Yeah, dressing as Deadpool does not give you carte blanche to act like a jerk.
I totally agree.
That's our soapbox on that one.
There we go.
But, I mean, it'll be interesting. I'll watch it.
Well, yeah,
I like
Star
this.
Wars.
Exactly. Yeah. Every day is Star Wars for me. I understand what's going on. I kind of like this idea of them building these anthology films.
Yeah.
Telling these stories that happen, not necessarily within the timeline, but they're happening about the same
time. Like ancillary to the... Yeah. To the, it's not stuff you have to absolutely watch to get... It's like...
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're building...
It's like Phantom Menace. You can totally skip it and be fine. Or if you want a little more information, you can watch it.
Yeah.
If you want C-3PO's stupid origin. I kept thinking about that the whole time I'm watching New Hope the other day. I'm like, Darth Vader built him.
Yeah.
No!
I actually saw that.
No! Yeah. Okay.
I saw this this comic once where they it's at Cloud City after C-3PO gets dismantled by the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And has a bunch of troopers, like, talking to Vader, and C-3PO's pieces are like laying all over this table.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you want us to wipe his memory, sir? And you know, all this other stuff. And he's just sitting there holding his head, and he just kind of tilts his head into his head, like he's genuinely sad.
Uh-huh.
But that kind of ruins Darth Vader being sad for me. I don't know. As far as a Boba Fett movie, I'll watch it. I think everyone will watch it. You know, people may complain that either they don't want a Boba Fett origin or stop mounting this character on a pedestal.
Yeah, we're going to have to see him actually do something cool, like, within the confines of, like, the movie universe. Because, you know, they've written all this story about him, and you know he's cool. But what in the movies has he done? He just kind of stood around, and he got ate by a sand pit.
Pretty much. The most he did was jump with a jetpack and got hit by a stick.
His death was a comic relief moment in Empire, in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
He was the butt of a joke. Like a blind Han Solo joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Boba Fett where? And he turns and hits his jetpack, malfunctions, and he falls into the pit.
Yeah. So they're really going to have to do something to, like, prove that this guy is as cool as
everyone makes him sound to be.
The last 20 years worth of Star Wars, you know,
fandom.
It just proves how cool that design is.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have to have do anything cool because he already looks so cool.
I mean, come on. In the original version of the trilogy, he literally said, like, two lines.
Yeah.
As you wish, and he's no good to me dead.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Which they went back and redid. When the prequels came out, they took the guy who did the voice, who was Jango.
And the clones,
and he redid those two lines.
Oh, God.
For the re-release of Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
You guys want to talk about some game news?
Yeah, we haven't talked about video games yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Mirror's Edge's sequel that EA's been kind of teasing around that they're working
on.
For a long time. Finally.
The first game was great.
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
For people who don't know what Mirror's Edge was, Mirror's Edge was kind of like this puzzle-esque action game where you're basically doing parkour free running on rooftops and whatnot.
In the first person.
In the first person, yeah.
It was a first-person game more about running and jumping and getting to your destination than it was about shooting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was some, but not a whole lot. Mostly kick this guy in the face, keep running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's visually a very interesting game. Like, there's a lot of white with starks of red. It's very much it's a very artsy puzzle visual game.
So they're doing a sequel?
Yeah, and it has a date on it now. It's going to come out next year.
Oh, wow.
Which is better than the Nebulous Someday.
Of Asea.
Yeah.
Do you see them trying to add more to, like, the story of it, or are they just going to
run
to this thing and do the thing?
I remember seeing teasers of it before. It seemed like they were going to add some story because it showed, like, the main character getting her iconic black tattoo around her eye.
Yeah, there wasn't much story in the first one.
Yeah, it was a oppressive government, and you're basically a parcel runner, running things that the government doesn't want you to run.
So you're Johnny Mnemonic?
Kinda. But female.
No, I just want to make a Johnny Mnemonic reference.
And with a messenger bag instead of...
his brain?
His brain that only holds like a terabyte or something.
I like that movie.
I think it was less than a terabyte.
No, yeah, it was like nothing.
Yeah.
By today's standards, it was like nothing. Like, 52 megs or something like
yeah,
that.
It's well, like, for Keanu Reeves? Okay, I believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to think about the time that movie was made. You know, that was a big yeah. amount of storage.
I like that terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful. I do love it, though. Yeah.
I like William Gibson, though, and it's based off one of his stories.
Right, right.
But it's a sequel to a game that I will play.
Oh, yeah. It's a different game, and we need more different games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of shades of brown shooters yeah. with chest-high walls.
And it's I always like seeing a first-person game that is not about shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love I think that's an underutilized thing.
Yeah. I like Portal. I mean, so that's technically shooting, but you're not technically shooting anyone.
Oh, we could have a conversation all day on whether or not Portal's a shooting game or not.
I know, right? I don't know. I just like games that challenge me, like, mentally.
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to solve this puzzle? What yeah. is the best way to solve this puzzle?
That's why I like point-and-click adventure games so much.
Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of sequels, or kinda, I guess, you were telling me before the show that the guy who did Castlevania is doing, like, a spiritual sequel kind of thing?
Yeah, Koji Igarashi, the guy who... He's not the creator of Castlevania, but he's the creator of the modern Castlevania.
He's
the guy behind Symphony of the Night. It's hard to say.
I love Symphony of the Night.
Is teasing and hinting around that he's going to do a Kickstarter and kind of do a spiritual successor to Castlevania.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of like Keiji Inafune and Mighty No. 9.
Right, yeah.
This is the Mighty No. 9 of Castlevania games, is what it sounds like.
Well, that's cool. You know, I enjoy Castlevania.
Yeah, I've missed Castlevania. We were spoiled with Castlevanias back on the DS. We get one every year or
yeah,
a year
right.
and a half.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since we've had a good one.
I was about to say, it's better than those... 3D ones they
yeah,
brought
out. The Mercury Theme, I think, is the company that did them. Those crappy.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty
God of War knockoff Castlevania.
Yeah, those slashers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So let's take everything that people like about Castlevania, throw it out, and make God of War with a whip.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll tell you, I've been thinking about this a lot with the advent of like Kickstarter and more or less famous people getting on Kickstarter to fund new projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's really changed the scope of gaming, where it used to be if you wanted to make games or something, you had to be part of a studio and not really get a say in what you want
to
make.
Yeah, you had to make a particular kind of game. Like,
yeah.
it had to be a big budget. Like,
yeah.
you couldn't make a 2D game anymore because people would tell you people aren't going to buy 2D games.
Right.
But now with, you know, the advent of the internet and everything and this connected culture we have nowadays, I feel like artistically minded people can actually fulfill themselves in doing mm-hmm. what they want to do. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a ukulele.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nobody makes 3D platformers anymore because apparently they thought they wouldn't sell, but then ukulele starts their Kickstarter and they make $1 million in
40 minutes.
Well, yeah.
yeah. Or like, shoot, look at Chroma Squad. You just wrote a review of it on the website. That was a Kickstarter. And I mean, it is a turn-based strategy RPG based around Power Rangers. You would think there would be, like, no major market for that. And yet...
Yeah,
guess
it's
what? It
incredibly niche.
Yeah, it did phenomenally well, and it was a really good game.
It's a fantastic game. Yeah, check out that review, nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, in a corporate setting, that game would never get made.
Oh, no. The suits would be like, power what? No.
Yeah.
yeah. Why turn-based strategy? No. This is not shooting from the first person.
Yeah, why does this look like old sprites? Why isn't it not, you know, polygonal in 3D? You know?
Why we're not getting actors in motion cap suits.
Yeah. Right. But no, I think, I think you're right. Kickstarters are really, you know, good.
I mean, I feel bad. I feel like I don't, you know, it's kind of hard for me, you know, I have, you know, a limited expendable income. But I love the fact that there are people out there that are excited about things and go, hey, I like the idea of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's try to make it happen. Like Mighty No. 9. I really want to play that.
I do too.
If it ever gets done,
it would be nice. It would be nice if it ever finished.
Again,
September.
He's getting close.
That is the double-edged sword with Kickstarter. It may or may not happen.
Yeah.
How many? Raise your hand. How many people have gotten burnt on Kickstarter sitting here?
I have not.
I have not donated anything to Kickstarter.
Ooh,
so.
I have. I got burnt.
I kind of felt a little burnt by Double Fine Adventure because it took so long.
Yeah, you're. Do you remember the guy who did the online game Super Mario Crossover?
Yes, that was a fun game.
That was a fun game. He was going to make a license-free version of it. Like, he was going to go through and change the sprites and make an actual game, create original levels, and he put up a Kickstarter. And I only threw like $5 into it, so I don't feel as burnt, but the game never came out. They squandered all the money. They never did any development on the game, and that people are just out that cash.
Yeah, and they just canceled it.
And they just
canceled
it.
Canceled
it's
again.
Done. Yeah. So that's, you know, $5 that...
You'll never see again.
I'll never see again. Which, I mean, again, $5, it's a negligible amount. It's just, you know, the idea that, you know, you back something like that and get totally burnt
on
it.
It's a gamble.
It is.
There's a couple games that I've backed that just aren't done yet.
Yeah.
The Shantae Half Genie Hero, it's not done, and I don't even think it has a date on it. And the guys that did Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, okay, those guys.
Z-Boy.
Yeah.
I backed their new one, Cosmic Star Heroine, and I don't know when that's coming out. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, you start, these developers, they get, you know, they get way more money than they ask for. They start getting great grand ideas of everything else that they want to add into the game, and that adds more time to the project, and sometimes it adds too much scope to it, you know what I mean? And yeah.
They get feature creep where they just keep adding features and features and features.
Yeah, yeah. There was one that I almost backed. It was the people who made City of Heroes, City of Villains did a game, City of Titans or something like that. And I'm thankful I didn't back it because it was supposed to be out 6 months ago, and they just keep adding features and adding features, and it's never going to get done.
I want to throw this out there. Be very aware of backing anything that's an MMO.
Yes.
Because it's just it's way too much work and way too much money to make an MMO. It's kind of pie in the sky thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You need a big business to back you for an
Everyone
MMO.
Wants to be the next World of Warcraft. Guess what? No one's pulled it off yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, people have thrown millions and millions of dollars at games to try and have the next Warcraft, and it hasn't happened. So
yeah, guess what? Warcraft's still going. They have a formula that works, and people seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got all these other MMOs that ever come out, and some have grand ideas, but then everyone's hot for a minute, and then everyone's gone. And then guess what? Your paid per month subscription game is now free to play with a cash store.
Boy, that sounds like you're a little bitter there, buddy.
Well, there are lots of games that I really liked that I wish would have panned out better.
What about that pirate one that you guys were hot into there?
Oh, Archeage? I haven't touched that.
I keep thinking about it.
I keep thinking about going back, but
that one's kind of hard. That one's really, really tough to get into.
Yeah.
There's a lot of micromanagement and whatnot within that one.
It was really innovative.
It has some great ideas, but it's one of those, you know, Korean-esque kind of MMOs. It's tough, especially when you're a free-to-play player.
Yeah, they keep you from owning land.
Oh, it's real.
Basically a second-class citizen.
You pretty much are.
Wow.
You can only farm on, like, public farms that they set up, and you only get, like, 10 labor points a day or something like that.
Whereas if you pay, that you just... I had more labor points than I knew how to do with. I was a subscriber for, like, a month, and they just keep adding, giving you labor points while you're logged off, so you come back and you have, like, a bazillion.
Wow.
Guess what? Wow. I can mine 10 things, chop down maybe 10 trees, and then I just sit and wait for my points to regenerate. It was awful. I think part of that's why I kind of just didn't.
I think you gave me some stuff once so I could
sell for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. There's lots of games I just wish would have happened better. There's Pirates of the Burning Sea, which was a really neat MMO, and nothing really that died out, burned out quick.
Not that Old Republic is doing bad, but it'd be cool if it was doing better, because I really like it.
Oh, yeah, I like it, too. I've been playing that a lot. And
Star Trek Online?
Yeah. It's a great game. The ship combat is amazing.
I think it's a little too complicated and a little too, like, fetch questy, but it had a lot of great ideas and probably the best, like you said, best ship combat of any MMO I've ever played.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much... What more can you really say about, you know, Kickstarter and backing games and things?
Yep. I think you're right. You know what? Actually, I think we're about at our time. So, again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at our Nerd Overload website.
Yeah, that's right.
And on Twitter at nerd_overload.
Yep, and I think we mentioned it earlier in the show, but our email address is staff@nerdoverload.com. If you have any questions, comments, anything for us.
You want to yell at us for dissing on DC movies all the
right.
time?
Yeah. Send it that way. Again, if you're in the Marion area and you have a question for us that gets picked, we will give you a free dozen of Andrew's pastry donuts. So, you know.
And if you're out of the area, I'll give you a Steam key for the game Lovely Planet.
There you go. Perfect. All right. So until next week,
thanks for listening.
This show was sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations.